Hello, my name is Xavier Mercado, and this is Spearhead Conversations. Today, I'm joined by special guest, Noel G. The drive, the ambition, the success. This man has started from the bottom and made his way up. As growing up in the early 2000s, his most iconic role, we won't say it right now, but following his journey ever since, he's an inspiration. Through the blessings, we were able to make a connection, and through that, we have him here today. So without further ado, how you doing, Noel?
That's an intro, dog. Hey. Worked up to that one, bro.
Yeah, bro.
That's what's up, dog. How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling...
Nah, I'm good, bro. You got that deep voice, the whole deal going, bro. I ain't mad at you, dog.
Yeah, hey, I feel blessed, man, to make a connection like this, man.
No, it's all love, man. Thanks for having me, Jay. I appreciate it.
Yeah, growing up, man, watching your movies, Fast and the Furious, Bruce Almighty... You recovering yet?
Yeah, don't get personal, bro. Don't get personal. Nah, I'm just playing. Nah, I'm just playing, dog.
Yeah, but, you know, it's...
As long as you ain't playing that part in slow motion, we straight.
That's
you
know right.
Nah, it's all good. All I know is the check cleared on that movie, so I'm good.
So it's your first time in Milwaukee, huh?
Yeah, first time ever, bro. Never been here before.
How you
At least that I can remember. I think so, yeah, but I'm going to say that's the first.
Yeah, how...
I guess it don't count if you were here and you don't remember it, right? So
sure.
I'm going to go with this the first.
Yeah, how's the whole experience of being in Milwaukee?
Nah, it's cool, man. I mean, I just came out here for the Autorama show, but literally I haven't seen nothing. I went straight from the hotel to the car show and back. So that's about the most... And the snow in between, you know what I mean?
Okay, gotcha.
Other than that, bro, Milwaukee is cold as hell.
Yeah.
I think I walked out the door and I froze.
Yeah.
No, I'm playing. But yeah, dude, it was bad, dog. It was bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, Milwaukee, man, we a city. So next time you come around, man, go sightseeing. We got the lakefront. We got, man, Summerfest.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah. No, I'm gonna try to see something tonight if I could, but
yeah.
If I get to it, cool. If not, next time.
Well, I appreciate you being here. Let's jump in.
I'm ready, dog.
All right.
I'm ready. I go with the flow, dog.
All right. Where were you born?
In California.
California?
Yeah.
What part?
Gardena.
Gardena?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that like Southern?
Yeah.
Okay. Got you. How was your childhood like?
Well, up to the age of 13, it was cool because I was living with, you know, my parents. We had a middle class home. Everything was straight.
Yeah.
Like 13, I had no struggles. I didn't grow up poor or rich. We grew up middle class, you know what I'm saying? So I had a room. I had clothes in my closet, toys in my room. Everything was straight.
Yeah.
You know, childhood was childhood, dog. They were telling me, like, you know, don't steal, don't cheat. They were living by good morals, all that.
Yeah.
And then that was pretty much my childhood up to 13, yeah.
Got you. What hobbies were you into?
Hobbies was I into? Really nothing, to be honest with you, man. I was just a kid playing hide and go seek and tag, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was just like any other kid in the street. We'd play baseball in the middle of the street, football in the middle of the street, you know, stuff like that, like just normal kid stuff, you know what I mean? Back in my days, at least.
Got you. What's your earliest memory of like tapping into the imagination and, you know, going into character? Because, I mean, you set down a path of acting, right? Like growing up, was there any part of your growing up that, you know, you were using your imagination?
Nah, not really. Not that I remember, you know what I'm saying? I would play with like army toys and stuff like that, Hot Wheel cars.
Gotcha.
But never like imagined myself, you know, in another world thinking I was something else.
For sure.
I was just living life like that.
All right. You know, you said it was great right until the age of 13. How was it after 13?
Yeah, 13. My parents left me at 13. That's when they picked up and went. So I got into the street life after that. Okay. They started, you know, teaching me how to shave my head, steal cars, how to dress, how to crease, all that stuff.
Gotcha.
And then how to sell drugs. And then I just got into a life of crime, like quick, because, you know, when you got to survive, you got to survive.
Yeah.
So it pretty much went from like they left and then I was homeless. I was.
They just left? Like.
Yeah, but that's a long story.
Yeah, yeah, no, no.
If you want to gut it, we can gut it. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, 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 no. You know, it's pretty straightforward.
No, yeah. So they bounced. And then, so at the time I was hanging out, I met a homie of mine, took me under his wing, started teaching me kind of the street life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know nothing about nothing because, like I said, I grew up a good kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I kind of started meeting the wrong. I had one friend that was kind of dirty,
mm-hmm.
and then he took me around the older homies, and then I started getting trained.
Yeah.
And then that's where the life just became the life, and then it became normal.
Okay. Well, yeah, man, I remember, you know, early, late teens, early 20s, I was homeless, you know, and in the streets and, you know, trying to navigate life. By my understanding, you were homeless at some point.
For 2 years, in between 13 and 15.
What do you feel in that time you taught, like, learned the most of being at, you know what I mean? I've been at that point.
Well, the thing is, you know, at that time, you're just trying to survive. You're trying to eat. You're trying to think, where am I going to sleep? Things like that. So there was times I slept in donut stores, laundromats. I'd do the couch store. I'd sleep in this friend's house and that friend's mm-hmm. house. But you know the deal. When you're not paying the bills at someone's house, your welcome runs out eventually.
Yeah.
So I got caught up in that. I'd break into cars, sleep in the back of cars, parks. Then there were times I didn't have a place to sleep. When my parents first left, I would sneak back into my own house, mm-hmm. a house that was once furnished, had everything in there, and it had nothing but carpet.
Yeah.
And I knew how to get in through the bathroom window, the sliding glass door. So I would sneak back into the house. I would sleep on the carpet. I was there for like the first 2 months when they left.
Yeah.
But then one day I walked into the kitchen, there was a phone connected, and I picked it up, there was a dial tone. I said, oh man, someone lives here. And that's kind of where the real journey started from there.
Yeah. So, you know, going through this journey is hard. You know what I mean? You learn how to exactly survive. How did you break out of that period in your life where you were able to, you know, basically come to a point to provide for yourself?
Well, I knew how to provide for myself by hustling in the streets.
Yeah, yeah, you know for what I'm sure, saying? For sure.
But I was making you mean kind of like making the real money, decent money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I worked all kinds of 9-to-5s before the acting kicked off. I worked at Olive Garden, Kmart, Toys R Us, KB Toys, Denny's, Burger King, a place called Pizza Mania, delivered pizzas. I did it all, bro. And then that's where I started making, you know, legit money. But at the same time, I was making street money, too.
Got you.
But, you know, I had to have something. You know what I'm saying? And then that's when I had money. But I didn't have money like that to rent my own apartment or get my own place.
Yeah.
So I'd be shacking up with people. And I'd just be, you know, here's a little bit of money. Let me sleep on your couch. That type of thing.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
So how did acting come into play?
So I was with this girl at 15, and she wanted to be an actress. I never thought nothing about it. So one day she asked me to go to an acting class with her. I went with her to this acting class. And at the time, I moved in with her and her family because she asked me one day. She said, how come you always wear the same clothes or I never seen where you live? So I was 15 years old at that time. I told her straight up, I'm homeless. What you see is what you get. It is what it is. Her dad took me into the home, so I lived with his family. And I was dating the girl at the time. That kind of stopped after I moved in. It was a whole different story. But then I always thought that if I got the girl mad, I would get kicked out of the house. And because I was homeless, I was so happy to have a roof over my head, I did whatever it is she said.
Yeah.
So one day she asked me to go to an acting class with her. I go with her to this acting class. Right place, right time. I'm sitting in class. Never thought about acting a day in my life. I never even thought I could be on TV.
Yeah,
you know, someone like me, whatever, whatever. And there was a producer who was sitting in class, comes up to me after the class, says, you want to be in a Taco Bell commercial? And I thought he was on some BS, whatever. I gave him my number. He ended up being real.
Yeah.
First thing I ever did in my life was a Taco Bell commercial at 15.
Wow.
And I never knew about how commercials pay you. I was ignorant at that time. So the way a commercial pays you is every time they show the commercial, you get a check. So if they show the commercial 15 times in one day, that's 15 checks. You feel me?
Yeah.
And I didn't know that at the time. I thought it was like, you got to work to get paid, work to get paid, work to get paid. So when all these checks started coming in, I thought it was kind of funny. And I was like, yo, why I keep on getting paid for this commercial? He goes, no, that's how actors get paid. I said, what? I said, well, damn, I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
And that's how that kicked off. So he hooked me up with a manager friend of his. I go meet this manager cat that he knows.
Yeah.
And long story short, what ends up happening was I go to meet this guy, and he's like, you know, I like you, man. I go in like this. I don't know nothing from nothing, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I like you, man. I'm going to see what I can do for you. And everything he sent me out on was Gangster 1, Cholo 2, Trigger. I'm like, I thought I was here to act. I grew up like this in real life. And then that's how gigs started coming about. And then here I am today later.
That first gig, what were the emotions that went through when you did that first role for Taco Bell?
It was unbelievable, weird. Should I be here? Do I deserve this? What's going on?
Yeah.
Is this for real? I was Baskin Robbins at that time. I had 31 flavors running through me. You know what I mean? I didn't think I was even worthy enough to be in a commercial, or ever did I think I could ever be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So for that to happen at that time, I was like, this is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I thought it would be a one-time deal. I thought one and done.
Yeah.
But as the checks came in, the dude always kept in touch with me. He was just checking on me.
Yeah.
And long story short, man, that's when I was like, I'm still getting paid for this.
Mm.
I thought it was a computer mess up. You know, I was stupid at this stuff. I didn't know what residual income is.
For sure.
And, that's when he was like, man, let me see if, I could help you out in life and do something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when that happened. So he hooked me up with the manager guy, and then it took off from there.
So that was your big break, in a sense.
That wasn't my big break. That was just the start of the big break was going to be.
How did you get to the big break?
Well, I've been doing acting for a long time,
mm-hmm. yeah.
from 15 to 2001. I don't even remember the years. If you want to do the math, just go back. But long story short, I did a lot of industrial work.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a couple TV shows, but they weren't big. I had one line in them. It was nothing that really popped off or anything like that. I even did, it was make you laugh. I did industrial work, which is when you get hired for Walmart and you watch the security videos.
The training videos?
I was in the training videos, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But I was the guy stealing from the store. So they were security video, security guard videos. Like if you see someone stealing from the store, this is the proper procedure to do. So I was the one stealing in aisle 2. I did a lot of, videos for doctors that were training videos. So I was the patient and doctors were operating on me for training videos. I did training videos for, McDonald's. This is how you use the register. This is how you wrap a hamburger.
Yeah.
I did all that stuff. And, the big break, quote unquote, was Fast and the Furious. That was the big break. Yeah.
How did that those cards line up for you?
So, you have a manager / agent. They call you for an audition and they tell you, hey, we got an interview for you. There's this movie and they're looking for your type of character.
Yeah.
They're looking for, street type, Mexican, Latino, street type, style type cat, whatever. And they were like, that fits you.
Yeah.
So they were like going for an audition. I said, all right, cool. So I went in for the interview and, did what I did. And later they get the call and they're like, yo, you got the part.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. So then that's how, it's just one thing after another like that.
Yeah. With your role, because you played Hector.
Yeah.
Right. Is there any other movies that you play Hector in?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
Post on that today on my IG. But yeah, man. It's funny because the short answer is Hector started off as a coincidence thing, but I just made it a thing.
Yeah.
Because I'd say in Hollywood, they only know two names for Mexican actors, Hector and Carlos.
Yeah.
And that's it. And a lot of the times I would get scripts, whether it be for a TV show, a movie or whatever, it would always be Hector 80% of the time. It's not like I'm calling my agent. If I'm not Hector in this next movie, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? I would just get called. It got so bad, even my agent would call me up and be like, you're not going to believe this. Mm-hmm. And I go, yeah, let me guess. I go, the script says Hector, right? She's like, yep. And I'm like, all right, whatever, let's go with it. But as I quote unquote got leverage and started, gaining having a little bit of a say so, if you will, I would start calling producers, directors and be like, hey, can I be Hector in this next movie?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yeah, you could be Hector. Some would say no, but most would say yeah, not care.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, let's just run with it and make it a brand.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it started becoming, But it started off coincidentally. It didn't. It's not for something sure. I was like, yo, I need to be Hector. I'm not doing the project. Like, no.
Got you. So let's go back to Fast and the Furious. You catch this break. What was it like the first time going on set and, you know, doing your lines surrounded by people like Paul Walker, Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez? How was that?
Well, you got to remember at the time it was like nothing because, you know, that's the movie that made them who they are today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even when there's only one actor I would ever get like that with straight up is Al Pacino. Yeah. I work with Al Pacino. I might be a little, excuse my French, I might be a little bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's just kind of funny. But with like, it was an independent movie and that's what kicked them off. So when we did Fast and Furious, everything was cool and straight because we were just, you know, a bunch of homies working together, hanging out, making a film. And we had no idea it was going to be what it is today and where it was going to pop off to. You know what I'm saying?
I remember when that movie dropped, how everyone around, get a Honda, get a hatchback, like around my neighborhood.
Right.
I mean? And how influential that movie was on the time period. Like, what was that, 2000, 2001? But more than that, who did you get along with the most on set?
No, I got along with everybody.
Yeah.
Vin, Paul, Michelle was cool, man. Those were pretty much like the three main ones to keep it 100, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But because all my scenes were with Paul, you know what I mean? I had a little bit with Vin, but they were mainly with Paul, so.
How was your relationship with Paul?
Good, man, good. Yeah, it sucks what happened. So he's still alive in our hearts, though.
Oh, definitely, man. How did it affect you?
No, it hurt, man. You know what I mean? Losing anybody that you got love for or close to hurts, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it affected me bad.
Man. Well, you know, still alive through everyone's hearts. I mean, that movie is so iconic. And then to go on with how the franchise grew. Now, you were in one. Which
I'll be real, man. Like, I'm not even a fan of the franchise anymore because it got too superhero for me.
Superhero, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Jumping off a car in midair.
Yeah, people like, you know, Marvel DC movies and superhero movies, and they're still a fan because that's what it's become. I don't know how you go from street racing to saving the world.
Yeah.
And I put that out there straight up. Like, I wish they got back to the roots, you know? I think part 11 is cars underwater. Part 12 is cars meet dinosaurs. Part 13 is going to be cars back in time. No, I'm just playing, dog. But,
we got to hear exclusive.
Yeah. No, I'm playing, dog. But it just got too retarded for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for real.
But I like part one where it stuck to the roots and the street racing and all that. But
how many parts were you in?
One and seven.
One and seven. How did you go back to go to seven?
I got to give it up to Vin for that, man. Vin slapped me back in part seven. Yeah, the reason why I came back in part seven is because they went back to Race Wars.
Yeah.
And stuttering? When they went back to Race Wars, they wanted to see a familiar face. So I was it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it was hella cool, man, to come back. I was like, damn, finally. I was like, you got the right number. You know what I mean?
Well, you were in other productions. You just mentioned you work with Al Pacino, another legend.
No, I haven't worked with Al Pacino.
Oh, you haven't?
I'm saying if I worked with Al Pacino,
you'd be starting.
I'm just saying, you know, like,
When you meet all these people,
they're people like anybody else. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes people ask me that stuff a lot. They're like, how was it to work with so-and-so? The thing that I say about that is I learned a lot from working with different people.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was so-and-so or no one know. You know what I mean? I worked with a lot of people and been very blessed in my career to see different strategies on how to get into character and keep the character flowing and how they work and how they do their thing and not do their thing, what they would do and what they wouldn't do. Things like that. And so, you know, you take pieces of all that and then you kind of become your own.
Man, well, you know, someone who I looked up to growing up and I used to imitate all the time was Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
And you were in Bruce Almighty.
Right.
How was that working with, to me, that's like an icon. That's a legend.
No, Jim Carrey's the man, dog, straight up. I got a lot of love for Jim, man. He was a nice guy, humble dude. Very approachable, funny as hell on set, cracking jokes left and right, you know. Just a cool dude to work with, man. He was very very giving, too. I never forget, like, when we were there, he got us a bunch of lunch trucks, and he would just be like, lunch is free all day. Go up to the lunch trucks, grab whatever you want, when you want.
Wow.
I was like, damn, man, all right, cool. I took some home, I think.
Yeah.
But he was hella cool, bro. So to work with Jim was... And Jim's a nut too. He legitimately changed the script.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times that I got 7 weeks out of that film. I was only supposed to work on it 1 week, but I got 7 weeks out of it because Jim kept on rewriting the script.
Wow.
So yeah, he's a legit, yeah, he's legit crazy, but a good crazy. You know what I'm saying?
A good crazy.
Yeah. But a lot of love for Jim, man.
Well, you did movies, TV. You did TV as well.
Right.
Man, you even did the X-Files, man. That's what I grew up on. How was the X-Files, bro?
Man, no, I've been blessed, man, in my career. I've been very blessed. My manager made a joke, and he said, it's when they stop calling you, you got to worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I've been very blessed to, like, stay busy and you know, stay pushing forward. But, you know, I just got to give that up to, you know, just be kind to people, man. Just be nice. And, you know, they never got to meet part two until something goes wrong, right?
You, man, ever since we made connected, I mean, you've been solid. Yeah. I mean, just seeing you at the show earlier today, you know, going through, I took my son, you there, polite, you know. With movies and TV shows, is there a difference between in production? Like,
it all depends, man. There's a little bit of a difference. It just always, that's a hard question to answer because it depends on the production.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, TV shows are shorter, movies are longer, but it's all shot the same way. But the reason why I say production is because I worked on a soap opera called The Young and the Restless, and I did another one too. I think it was Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
And soap operas are a beast, man. You got to be a professional actor, Academy Award winning actor, bro, to work on a soap opera, man. Yeah. Those shows had me stressed out.
Yeah.
If I never do a soap opera again, I'm straight.
Would you say that's your, like, the most challenging?
That was the most challenging beast I've ever had in my life, bro. They are line for line. You can't ad lib. You can't play with it. They don't let you mess with the script. When you're in a TV show and movie, you could make it your own. You could ad lib. You could play with it a little bit. There's a little bit of, you know, freeway there, right? But on a soap opera, you got to be like this, on point. And I was like, damn, dog. Like, I never forget my first soap opera I worked on. You know, when you work on a movie, TV show, you got a little bit of relax time. Come in, you settle in the trailer, you kick it for a while, you get brought to set, you get a little bit of chill time, you know? Soap opera, man, I was doing wardrobe by the time I was already doing makeup, by the time it was lunch, by the time we shot the scene, they were saying thank you, goodbye, go home. I was like, damn, did I even work today? Yeah. I don't even remember working. I don't even remember going through all this. Like, you go through the grinder on a soap opera. So to answer your question, what I'm saying is it depends on the production, on how they move, how they do things. I worked on Brother with Omar Epps back in the early days, man.
Yeah.
So TV was black and white.
Yeah.
And it was all Chinese crew. I ain't never, ever in my life, bro, seen a set move from point A to point B faster in my life, dog. No. Like, I'm talking all the furniture in here, if they had to move, gone within seconds, man. Like, you can literally just turn around and be like, what'd you say? Where's everything at? Like that, dog. Like,
yeah.
So you get different experiences on, different productions or whatever, but it's just a crazy business we're in because, again, to answer that question, you can't really answer it one way is what I'm saying. It depends on the people you're working with, the production you're working with, and, you know, what the project is, on how it moves, how it grooves, how it, you know, goes together.
What was your favorite project out of all the projects you've ever
done? Yeah, the one that paid the most, bro. That was my favorite project. No, I'm playing. I ain't playing, but I'm playing. You know what I'm saying?
My boy.
Yeah, right. Nah, I'd have to say, like, to be real, man, Training Day, Fast and the Furious, those would be some of the favorite projects to ever
Training
work on.
Day, yeah. Man.
Because Training Day, I got to do some flavor up in there. Walking Dead was cool. Fast and the Furious was funny because, like, at one point, I was like, are we filming a movie here? Because we were partying so much, acting a fool, just kicking it.
Yeah.
And I was like, even the director did one of the scenes where when Paul Walker's breaking into my garage, you know that scene where we're partying? Yep. He placed us. He said, you guys here, you guys here, you guys there, you guys there. So we were waiting for like 2 hours. And we're like, you know, what's up? Like, and all of a sudden you hear, all right, that's a wrap. Everybody go home. And we're like, what the hell? And he's like, yeah, we filmed that already. We're done. We're moving on.
Ding.
Just like that. So
that's
he did
organic
that.
Feel.
He did that strategically because he knew that in us waiting around being bored, that we were just naturally going to start acting a fool, talking smack, yep. and just be crazy until it was time to really party.
Yeah.
And so that's how he got that shot. So we had a wild director, you know what I mean?
Man, I mean, like, with roles like that, Training Day, let's focus on that. That scene, kitchen scene. I mean, you go in and you're like, hey, you a pig.
Right.
How was that scene? Like, man, because that's such a crucial part in the movie. Like, that's where things really turn up.
Right. No, yeah. I mean, you know, for me, man, on that scene right there, it was kind of crazy because I just put myself in the zone, dog. Sometimes you got to just go there, you know what I mean? And so I just went there. And,
yeah.
You know, you can't, I take no credit for this, man. That's my boy Emilio, but it's true. You can't really, you know, teach what we lived.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So living that in real life, you bring elements of that mm-hmm. to that scene. You know what I'm saying?
What were barriers for you throughout this journey of acting?
And again, I say this, no judgment, and to each their own, man. No judgment. Once again, I express that hard. But for me, I wouldn't play a gay guy. I would not do, you know, transvestite roles. Like Dave Chappelle said, it was funny on the YouTube. He's like, you ain't putting a dress on the black man.
Yeah.
You ain't putting a dress on this Mexican guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain roles like that I just would not take. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, to each their own, no judgment. I'm just saying for me.
Yeah, for sure.
That's not my cup of tea.
It's respectable, you know?
Yeah.
Who have been most challenging to work with throughout your career?
You know, I don't want to name names or whatever, and I wouldn't, but no, every now and then you get one who's Hollywood instead of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get your, you know, people that are color assort my Skittles and satin sheets, mm-hmm. and it's sad and it's sorry it got to be that way, but sometimes you get a diva in the mix and, you know, it is what it is. So, and I see some guys disrespect people and this, that, and the other, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, I trip. Like, sometimes I wonder, I'm like, damn, man, like, you are who you are, and I wonder how you got where you're at with an attitude like that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, it trips me out. And that's why I tell people, too, like, one thing that this business has taught me, unless you know someone personally or were involved in the situation personally, mm-hmm. you don't know a damn thing about nothing.
Yeah.
Because I know some people out there that people are fans of, but if you knew them the way that I knew them behind the curtains, you might not be a fan.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And so that's why I tell people, bro, like, sometimes you work with some knuckleheads and you just like, you know, but I never say nothing. If it's directed towards me, I'm going to say something.
For sure.
But if they doing it to someone else, that's their job to say something because it was over there. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, it's just, we're in a crazy business, bro. So.
Well, with the success you've reached, because, I mean, you've been in all these major movies, TV shows. One of them is Chicago PD. That was my wife watches that show.
Oh, okay, cool.
And she wanted you to know that she watched that show. And she did watch your episode.
Nah, that's cool. That's what's up.
I think it was called Promise.
I forget, man.
Hey, man, I understand.
I do them and forget them. I do them and forget them.
You know, criticism is something that comes along with the type of success someone like you
All day long.
How do you handle that?
I don't care. Like, you know, you can't care. You know what I'm saying? I let hate fuel me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I let love fuel me. I let them both fuel me, you know what I mean? A guy said something one time, and I take no credit for this one either, because we learn in life or whatever, but a guy said something one time, and I even forget who quoted it, but the saying was, if you never want to be talked about, do nothing, be nothing, and say nothing.
Gotcha.
And you'll never be talked about. But once you put yourself in, you know, public, a little bit or a lot of bit, you're going to get talked about regardless.
Yeah.
And then there's also another saying that I say, you know, success comes haters.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how it is. So you can't care about who says what. As long as you know who you are,
yeah,
that's all that matters. Yeah. I don't let someone else tell me who I am mm-hmm. because I know who I am. You get what I'm saying?
For sure.
So I don't let nobody tell me who I am. I know who I am.
Yeah.
But that's why I say also, unless you know someone personally, or were involved in the situation personally, you don't know a damn thing about anything, straight up.
You know, with this career, you know, guides, mentors, who have been a mentor to you throughout this journey of acting?
That's a good question, G. That's a good question. I would say a lot of the guys that I know personally, I would say my pastor, Pastor Mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus, God, stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Men of God, woman of God. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not perfect in any way, shape, or form. I got my flaws too, my thorn in my flesh, but I'm doing my best I can to try to serve them.
If you could talk to your younger version here right now, if you could talk to a younger version, what advice would you give to that version of yourself?
I would say think before you talk. Think before you act. I would say really know that too. Know who you are. Don't let someone tell you who you are. Mm-hmm. And I would say be a person of integrity. You know, when you're a person of integrity, people just want to do favors for you. I learned something in life. If you're one of these people, man, I'm sorry I'm late to work. I'm sorry I forgot to do that email. I'm sorry I parked my car in the wrong spot. I'm sorry I forgot to make that call you told me to make. You just become a sorry worker. And nobody wants to work with a sorry worker. They want to work with problem solvers. So I tell people straight up, man, just be a person of integrity and be a person of honesty. If you really can't do something and someone tells you what's up, just say, hey, man, look, that area there, that's my strength. I can murder it in that area right there. That's my strength. That's my know-how. That's what I can do. I can pull that off for you all day long. But this area over here, you might want to get someone else because I'm not too good at that stuff. And I don't want to let you down. And I'm being upfront with you. I'm not good at that, but I kill it over here.
Yeah.
And I want to work with those people, man. So I just want to work with people of integrity, people of honesty, because those are hard to find.
Well, through that, you've gone down this journey. You do motivational speaking.
Yeah.
You travel for that. And, you know, you talk churches, schools, businesses. How did you jump into that?
So that was by, quote unquote, being successful and being seen.
Yeah.
So we had a company back in the days called Suspect Entertainment. And long story short, what ended up happening was we started getting seen on television. So companies, schools would start calling us up and saying, hey, if you guys are doing it, can you come talk to our kids and tell them how to do it? Because look at you guys up there doing it, not in jail, working on TV. Tell our kids how to do the same thing. And then long story short, that's how that kind of flooded. So, you know, one person knows another and one person knows another. And then before you know it, it starts becoming a thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, through that, it's respectable, man. I mean, with our youth in the inner city, especially here in Milwaukee, you know, it's, and I back in Cali, New York, I was originally born in New York, but the neighborhood my family comes from is the Southern Bronx. So, you know, with areas like that and the impact you're making through that, is this something you could see yourself from now on doing or?
This is definitely what I want to do until I die, man, straight up. I mean, you know, I get more help. I get more joy out of helping someone than I do, you know, anything else. That's my drug, is helping people now. Just, you know, but you got to be wise in that. You got to know who you're helping.
Yeah.
And why. So I tell people before they help anybody or get involved with anybody, do a heart check and a personality check first. Mm-hmm. Because you might be helping the wrong person. And then you realize, you know, it's not their fault. It's your fault because you didn't know who you were helping and why.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anyone's going to do business with someone, I tell them straight out, man, go bowling with them first or go to dinner, or, you know, go to the beach or do whatever. And don't say one damn word about business.
Yeah.
Not a damn word about business. Find out who you're dealing with first. And then after that, decide if that's someone you want to run forward with.
Come through. Yeah. Man, well, with this life, you know, and it's honorable what you're doing. I really respect it, salute it. Legacy. What do you hope to leave as a legacy when it's all said and done?
Just lead people to God, man. Get to know Jesus, have that relationship with God, because I think that's where, I think because we lost the foundation of God and the word of God, that's why we have the chaos that we have today, because we're not living in discipline. And because we're so worried about hurting people's feelings. Mm-hmm. That's why we have the world that we have today, because everything is off of feelings and, you know, emotion, sensitivity and all this stuff. And, you know, we're losing a lot of our men lately in this world, to keep it 100. And when you really get to know God in a personal relationship, God doesn't operate off of feelings. That's biblical. Don't get mad at the messenger. Yeah. That's in the book. So don't get mad at the guy who's just delivering the FedEx package on your porch. I didn't mail it. They mailed it. Get mad at him, right? But that's biblical. And in God's word, it says, don't operate, that he doesn't operate off of feelings. He operates off the choice.
Yeah.
Because your feeling might make you do something that's not right because you just felt like, oh, I feel like I got to get revenge. I feel like I got to hate on this person, or I feel like I got to talk. But the choice overrides the feeling. And the choice is always what's right, not the feeling, because the feeling can get you into trouble.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, yeah.
It's like your choice. You know what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because you didn't care and you felt it, you just went ahead and did it anyways. And now you find yourself in a mix because you let your feelings get the best of you.
Yeah.
When the choice, if you would have been able to hold back your feelings and say, I'm going to make the right choice not to get revenge, even though I want it that damn bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the choice not to do this, you know, drug deal or do these drugs or whatever. Even though I want it that damn bad.
Yeah.
Your choice will always be better than your feeling. You know, and that's God's words. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm saying, like, I think if people were to get closer to God, we'd have a, we'd have a lot better soldiers out there.
Got you. Well, man, the success keeps growing for you, man. I really honor you coming through today. You got any projects you working on, or is it just?
Yeah. No, I got a couple things dropping. I just did something with French Montana. That's going to be pretty big. Dog. Yeah. got something I just did with John Travolta and Quavo. So that's going to be dropping soon, too.
Get it, dude.
Yeah. And there's some other stuff, bro. You'll see some other stuff in the mix popping off that we working on and putting together, man. So there's a lot of good stuff that's going to be coming soon. I'm trying to bring that heat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the legacy basically is just to make movies that are encouraging, inspirational, life-changing, renews your way of thinking, and lead you to God, and hopefully encourages you to get into that relationship with God yourself, and take it from there, bro. That's how I want to die. I want to be known for that. You know what I mean?
For sure. Well, I appreciate you coming on.
No, it's love, dog. Thanks for having me, bro.
Hey, man, there's one question that we always
ask. Yeah, go ahead and trip and ask whatever you want. Let's go.
What advice would you give to our youth that are aspiring to be more in life?
So I would say this, you know, I worked in a convalescent home when I was about 20 years old, and I never forget this. They did a survey. They asked everybody over 65 years old, if you could go back and change something about your life, what would you have done differently? And over 83% of the people who turned in the survey said that they would have took more risks and more challenges in their life, because now they're 65 and older wondering, could have I owned that business? Could have I become that athlete? Could have I become that famous podcaster? Could have I wrote that book? Could have I become that singer? Could have I become that actor? So I tell people to take more risks and more challenges in their life. And I always tell people this, if you do not see yourself being successful, you'll never be successful. Because if you don't see it in your own life, how's someone else going to see it in you for you? So if you don't see yourself being a famous podcaster, you'll never be a famous podcaster because you don't see it in your own life. If you don't see yourself owning a business, you'll never own a business because you don't see it in your own life. If you don't see yourself becoming that professional athlete, you'll never be that professional athlete because you don't see it in your own life. You got to see yourself in it. You know what I'm saying? And how do you do that? You be a person of integrity, honesty. The cliche one that people always say, but it's true. Don't quit. Never give up. Yeah. But I think people need to be told how not to quit and how not to give up. And the way that I tell them is just be a person of integrity. Because if you're someone of integrity and you're someone who's honest, people just want to do favors for you. And that's how you advance in life. And then I tell people this last thing, especially to our youngsters, never be afraid to ask questions. You know what the stupidest question is that you can ask? It's the one that you don't ask. If you don't know something, ask it. You know, that's why you got other people who are successful and in positions that can help you, guide you, to go forward in whatever journey it is you're trying to take.
Yeah.
So that's what I tell my youngsters, man. Just and all the other stuff I said earlier in the game, you know, be careful before you make that choice to do A, B, or C, because, and I almost say this last thing and I'm done. You got to know who you're hanging out with.
Yeah.
Just because you're in the environment, it don't mean you're a product of your environment.
Yeah.
That's why you got to know who you are. Don't let people speak into your life negativity. Yeah. You know, people say you can't do this, you can't do that. Maybe that's not the person to hang out with. And I tell people like this, I'd rather have one real friend than 100 fake ones. You know yeah. what I'm saying? And it's hard to find real friends nowadays. They like needles in haystacks because everyone's straight out. And I'm sorry, man, to say it, but sorry, but not sorry. Nowadays, you got a bunch of cutthroats and backstabbers, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
So that's why I always said, when you get involved with someone, do a heart check and a personality check first.
Yeah.
And know who you're helping and why. It's okay to have a good heart, mm-hmm. but you got to know how to protect that heart.
Yeah.
And you learn from mistakes in your life. So I'll give you just one little thing, and I'm out with this quick story. So back in the days, I used to help people get into acting.
Yeah.
And I did it for free because I just had that type of heart. Mm-hmm. And my feet weren't even fully wet yet, but I just do it for free and hook you up, right?
Yeah.
So as I was hooking people up and helping people get into acting and taking them under my wing and coaching them in the game and everything and trying to put them on, I had people that were backstabbing me or talking smack on me to the person that I connected them with. And I'm like, you wouldn't even be in that room if it wasn't for me. How are you going to talk smack on me? And I'm the one that got you in front of, you know, ABC, right?
Yeah.
Or worse, I'd have people quit on me after I took them under my wing and coached them and everything. And I'd be like, dog, like I put a year into you, 2 years into you. And when they found out that it wasn't as easy as they thought, they just cold turkey quit on me. And they're like, I'm going to go work with my dad or I got a job over here. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've been putting my blood, sweat, and tears into you. And now you're going to quit? So now I charge people for my time. You know why? Because if you backstab me or two-face me or quit on me, I could care less. I got paid for my time.
There you go,
So you got to use wisdom in everything you do, man. Yeah. And so that's what I tell the young people and adults, not just young people.
Yeah.
And the last thing I say, man, is put God first and the rest will work yourself out. Don't mean you're going to be perfect or live a perfect life, but get into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Get to know him. That's my true hero. And I promise as you get into that relationship with Jesus, he will guide you, mold you. Let him be a part of your decisions. Let him be a part of your choices. And I promise you, your life will be a lot better with Jesus Christ involved than without Jesus Christ involved. So I say, instead of keeping it gangster, keep it Godster. And follow me on my Instagram, Actor Noel G. Much love.
All right, man. Well, you know, again, Noel, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you sharing your time. And you're right, man. Like, believe me, everything you've said right now, I take to heart. I'm striving to do good with what I'm doing, and I definitely got the vision, so that really hit. But
Be wild, man. Be creative and do all that stuff. Be risky. Think out of the box with God in the box. Do stuff that a podcast has never done before. Of course, you get an element and a flavor there and a flavor there, but be daring, homie, because just be daring, dog. Like, just take chances that no one else ever has, and that's what's going to make you different, bro.
Yeah.
And then you know 85 South Show? Those are my boys, man. I did their show. And, man, if you hear their story, like, just take chances and be risky, man. Because I don't care if you're on Gilligan's Island or the space station. You know, you could be in head where you want to be and go.
Yeah.
You just gotta be different. And then when you think you're different, you got to be different again.
Yeah.
And then when you think you're different again, you got to be different again. You know why?
Yeah.
Because when you're different, 10 people ahead of you already thought of that difference. I don't even know how to say it.
I'm
going to come up with the word differentiate. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be even different again.
Yeah.
Like, just, man, knock it out the park, G. Like, you got this.
Well, again, thank you for coming on. It's been great. And
because if you're going to learn how to play basketball, or like if you're going to learn how to golf, you want to learn with Tiger Woods. You want to learn with Kobe Bryant.
For sure.
Yeah, dog. Hey. I'm done, man. Don't give a Mexican a mic. We talk on. I'm out, G.
Well, with that being said,
yeah.
Thank you. And with that, we head out.